Hello, good morning, what's up? Welcome to the I Get Buckets podcast. My name is Simon, your host as always. We're 2 weeks into the Cougars League fantasy. It's been amazing to kind of get back into basketball and have it dominate a big part of my life again, which I always enjoy watching all the new teams now they're going, and the standings I find really interesting at the start kind of block of their 10 games, I guess, to kind of see. But yeah, we've got 2 weeks in now, which is I think most teams have played, like 7 games. And we have a little bit of it's probably quite balanced as what you'd think from the ladder. It was interesting that huge kind of Princey comeback makes the ladder feel a little bit more balanced instead of having what have been, I think, 6 people on 1-1. Now we have, two or three teams up top undefeated, that 4 in the middle, and then another 3 at the bottom, still looking for their win. But yeah, it depends who you face. It depends how things are going. A lot of injuries and things coming through. But really kind of fun way to start. We've done a similar kind of podcast before, I think, in terms of overreactions to like an early kind of season thing. I'm not sure if we've done the studs and duds before, but that's kind of the premise of the podcast. Everyone loves a list. I've put together my top 10 studs so far, my top 10 duds, as we've seen for the first 2 weeks. So trying to go not with the super duper obvious ones. If you pick someone in, round 1 or round 4 and they're performing like that, or even if they're performing marginally better, that's not really what the studs and duds are about. I think I'm really highlighting players that are exceeding what they're doing. I'm trying, I haven't put any people who are injured in the duds and stuff like that there. I've kind of really wanted players that are playing that we've seen and kind of that we got a little bit more of an idea. But at the same time, you might see people in this list who I don't necessarily think that they're a dud pick still at this point. I mean, most of them probably are, but we're living in the moment a little bit, I think, with a few of them. You'll find out, just because they're a dud or a stud now doesn't mean that they're going to be that for the rest of the season. I think there's a few that have interesting circumstances, but we'll see kind of how it all goes, and everyone loves a list, so we'll count them all down and have some fun with it, I think. You'll work out probably, I think most coaches have got 1 or 2 people throughout kind of the 20 players. I've got a few honorable mentions as well, but trying to not kind of shoehorn in coaches and stuff. And it's interesting, a couple of the coaches that, do have a few duds are doing very well to start with still. So it's more very looking at the individual players. But I think we'll start with studs. All these players are probably ahead of where we'd think at the moment, who have really come through. As a little bit of a fun, optimistic, positive start before we get into the duds to go through. So, yeah, we'll count down kind of 10 to 1 and have just a quick few minute or two on each of the players. But to start off, we have a few honorable mentions. I think Benedict Mathurin from Jesse was very much going to be in this list. But I think, with him only playing, I think it's the 3 games and being injured, maybe not enough, I think, for us to kind of get into this list, but obviously a really fantastic start from him and looking like a great pick. Josh Giddey goes into the honorable mentions just because I think when you look at averages, I think he's like 10 or so at the moment. Like, he's quite high based on the work that he did in the second week. But I think, as I might have mentioned in the reviews, the first week was, just kind of playing, and he's was drafted, at 23, so you want him to be good. But still, honorable mention, just based on the stats. And Brandon Ingram, Princey, honorable mention, because I think we all know he's a really good player, but I think his average, I think, is 25.3 or some shit like that. Coming off the back of basically not playing last year, feels like, I think, an honorable mention to start off with. Apologies if I'm sounding a bit shit. We're getting through it all, but let's have some fun. Hopefully people are enjoying this one. Number 10 on the studs list to kick off with, we have Drew Holiday, who's averaging 24, a pick 124 for Coach Jake. So I think very much, I mentioned, someone who's bumped up his average significantly to this point right now and having a great start to the season. I think someone who's basically an undrafted player I would have looked at on my big board coming through. You know, a few different guards, everything like that. We know that Scoot Henderson will be coming back, but, you know, for the moment, right now, Jrue Holiday's been that, you know, fixed starting point guard and, you know, playing like he did kind of like 5 years ago, average of 24, super duper healthy, someone you'd be really excited about taking the risk on. And sometimes it's funny, those older kind of back end players that are sometimes I feel a bit of a stay away, but the risk in bringing them some in sometimes really pays off. I know time and time again, there's examples that kind of go either way where they fall off a cliff or, you know, come through like a Jrue Holiday right now and averaging what they're doing and being a big piece of Portland. I know they lost to a G League Lakers team yesterday, but before that, I think they were 3-3 and doing okay. So, yeah, interesting one there. You'll find some of the teams, I think, have got more players than others here, and they're probably the teams that we really didn't know what we were going to get from them. And we've got a few players littered throughout these lists, but we'll keep going. Number 9 of the stars, Jonathan Kuminga, average of 22.6, drafted at 107 by Walshy. Had to put him on the list. He's averaging a little bit less than a few other guys who have come, you know, rock solid out of the blocks, even a couple have drafted a little bit later. But I think the context of 107... so late in the draft, but, you know, early enough, knowing the kind of shit show that was Jonathan Kuminga in the offseason and his contract, knowing what he's done in the past, knowing that there's this expectation maybe that he's still not, you know, in the future plans of Golden State. How are they going to integrate him into kind of the Steve Kerr thing? We've seen it not work. I think the risk of Walshy kind of to take him still and bank him in and show that I think this 22.6 is very sustainable going forward, where some of the other players, I think, you know, we're going to see a relegation back to a more, you know, reasonable number. The lofty heights I don't think can be maintained. I think Kuminga gets on this list because I think what we've seen in some of the stuff should kind of hold true. And if he does, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of a worst case scenario for him if he, you know, sticks around and is at Golden State kind of long term here. But I think we've seen, you know, him or Steve Kerr and the coaching really playing him in the minutes with Butler and with Curry and Draymond Green's probably the other one. This three of Kuminga, Butler and Draymond Green, knowing that it's not the most amazing kind of 3-point shooting kind of three. You know, if they balance that with Al Horford, who can obviously stretch, and Steph Curry, you know, best shooter of all time, it seems to work a little bit more, even though they were scared to do it last season. So I like the idea, and I think the risk of him going Kuminga here, when a lot of other people probably were a bit scared of him being a bust again, I think he's done well bringing him here. So number 9, Kuminga. Moving forward to number 8, Keyshawn George. So I already kind of went on the chat about Keyshawn, but it's someone who I really kind of liked the idea of last season. And I remember Chris picking him up and him getting injured in the championship, which was a huge, huge, probably unspoken about kind of thing, because I think he had played 3 or 4 minutes and had like 2 rebounds and an assist and a shot made already, and kind of rolls his ankle and is out for the 2 weeks of the whole kind of championship one. And at that point, with, you know, your limited amount of picks left and what you're going to do, so it was a really big blow. And I think I didn't really know what he was going to be in terms of the minutes allotment and stuff going into this season, you know, with your CJ McCollum and your Middleton kind of coming in and what it's going to be with kind of Trey Johnson, the rookie, and a few of the other pieces. It was a little bit curious, but straight away, and, you know, bidding the free agent money to kind of get him in, because I was like, okay, I really like where this is going for him. I like the shooting. We'll see if it kind of stays, but the aggressiveness, the assertiveness, I think the passing, the ball handling still feels a bit, you know, rough. And I think the passing across the Wizards has a lot to be desired. These kind of like shitty, slow bounce passes, I think are just rife for defenses to kind of slow them down and pick them up and kind of hurt their ball movement. But I think for Keyshawn, just some of the counting stats around the scoring and him kind of going to the basket, he's getting stripped a little bit, but I think that's a coaching thing where when he picks it up and has that kind of first step, he can protect the ball. He's going to be able to get to the rim a lot more. There's all this stuff that I really like in kind of a foundation, and it's not like a project, because we're already seeing kind of being thrown in as a real kind of go-to option in their offense. I do love, you know, he has a 48.5 kind of fantasy number to his name. That's something that's happened. I know we've had Aaron Gordon and other people get big ones too, but like this is what he kind of got to in the Heights, and I think very worthwhile kind of getting him here at number 8. But moving forward, number 7, I mean, another kind of surprising one going young, but rookie here, VJ Edgecombe, has to be one of the most surprising, and I think across the board, picks. Even Coach Adam here, we knew he's this kind of athlete, interesting, like, pedigree player that, you know, Philly were excited about, but it was still an unknown of kind of like, well, what he is, where he comes in, you know, starting off the bench, and well documented now, like 26 shots in his first game. And I think, and they've quickly gone, well, okay, it's real. You know, I saw him, you know, he wants to put people on posters. He's aggressive, you know, likes to shoot, all the stuff that I think, you like numbers wise. You know, the rookie worry is, you know, you come in and you have, you know, a full quarter or so where he plays, you know, 8 minutes and just kind of doesn't really see the ball and is not ticking over anything. But he's coming in, he's everywhere. I know there's some coaching stuff where I've seen him, you know, be out of position and kind of lose his defender and rookie moments, but all the stuff's kind of coming through. It wasn't just an opening night thing. He's averaging 25.2, you know, playing every game, I think, so far. Pick 128, huge bargain. It'll be interesting on the end of season kind of lists of best pick where he ends up. The 25.2 feels very high, but, you know, if you can keep that anywhere near that, it's an absolute home run still. So very comfortable him. Number 7 on my studs list. But moving forward, number 6, second Wizard. I said I've been watching a lot of the Wizards, but I think Alex Saar has to have a shout out here. He's averaging 26.7. He was pick 89 in our draft by Chris. So, you know, did get him quite late. I think there was a little bit of tickets on him, but, you know, marked him of like, he's going to improve. But I think within everything, you know, it wasn't assumed that it'd be this good this quickly in terms of a fantasy numbers. Like, I watched, you know, him, as I said, and I think there's still possessions that are a little bit rough. I don't know, you know, the shooting and stuff, if it's really going to be as consistent, but I think the confidence and his kind of like drive and spin in the lane has been pretty reliable so far. I don't like him rebounding against, you know, bigger centers, but you do see on like long threes and stuff, like he's very capable of the, like, just jumping over smaller guys and kind of having that kind of strong hands to reel them in. So I like where the rebounding numbers are going to go, even though they're not going to be, you know, tough offensive rebound stuff. I think it's just going to be the garbage, you know, clean up stuff. And then the offense obviously is an alluring kind of thing for them, because I think, you know, they're guards, they're running sets for him, they're getting him the ball, they're letting him work. So it's all kind of a nice transition that this leap is in year 2 is definitely there. 26.7, you know, really vaults him into, you know, your top kind of 30 guys at this point. I know scores have been felt a little high, so we'll see where it lends, but Alex Saar, a really good one so far as a stud. And a huge stud, they keep coming, number 5, Tyrese Maxey. The highest kind of draft pick here on this list at pick 22, but I think the sheer numbers of him averaging 39 obviously kind of puts him at that level this time that it's worth calling out. And sometimes the hardest leap is that, you know, excellent, great to elite kind of thing. So, you know, pick averaging 39, you know, very, very comfortably has him like top 5, I think, in average, you know, behind the big dogs. I think it was 3 players averaged, maybe even 2 or whatever, averaged over the 40 last season. Like, I know Wemby fell maybe just short. Yeah, so this is where we're talking average of 39. It seems like I don't know how it's going to consistently stay there just because that number's so gigantic and he's doing it a lot on his scoring. And that's kind of the heart. A lot of these huge kind of players that they're built on double-doubles and kind of, you know, steals and blocks and stuff like that. But I think, you know, Tyrese's speed, you know, the defense is obviously quite nice still with, you know, picking your pocket and things like that. Very, very comfortable having him kind of here and a huge shout out as one of the better picks in the first couple of rounds, who's kind of, yeah, embarrassed a few people in terms of who they're picked in round two, I think. So huge one there. Next one, number four, I've got Lauri Markkanen. Hard not to do it. I said, you know, the Utah Jazz thing's going interesting. Spoilers, not the last Jazz on this list. He's averaging 32. You picked him in pick 53. He's had that kind of 51-point game banger. Coach Adam bringing him in here, I think, is just rock solid value. Everyone was really interested, you know, me included. Like, well, where do we put him? Because last year just didn't go well, and it didn't look like he was, you know, trying. I had a big spiel, I think, on the podcast review of him coming just running to the corner and being weirdly not involved with the offense. The whole Utah thing was an absolute shit show last year. I think people have got some questions to be answered now that we're seeing. I think they've won 3 games, they're 3-4, but like playing quite, you know, well in this kind of engaged Lauri Markkanen, and it's just interesting how the shift of kind of just watching them being a functional basketball team. I know it was by design last year, just shutting people down. But even, you know, when we saw kind of Lauri, you know, playing in these bits, was like, it was in the toilet. I think his average was like just over 20 last year, you know, an average of 32. We're talking this huge leap back, you know, when he was All-Star. I think he was averaging 27 in this league. And that, you know, made him, I think, a late round three pick. This is back to those kind of levels at the moment. So we'll see where he goes. I think the envision is like the asking price is too high at the moment with his contract. So I don't see him getting moved anytime soon, just given the whole, you know, background of Danny Ainge and them being quite difficult to deal with this marquee kind of thing. So I'd be interested. I'd be citing on, like, I don't think he's getting traded anytime soon. You know, maybe it happens before the deadline, but yeah, so you lock him in here and you've got yourself a stud big time here. But we'll get to the next Utah Jazz player straight away. Number three, Keyonte George. He's averaging 27.4, pick 116 by Dan. So this is game changer territory. There's maybe one or two a season, and even this at the lofty level is crazy if he maintains this number. So I'm well documented. It's funny, I was all the way in. I liked the idea of him kind of being this like fun young scorer on a Utah Jazz team that doesn't have too much direction and would just, you know, he had this 40-point game, I think, late in his rookie season. A season where I drafted him but then dropped him, I think, because, or not drafted, picked him up on the waiver and then he got injured. And I was like, okay, here we go. Drafted him last year late, and it was just horrific. Like, it was hard to watch. It was just really bad shot selection. It was below par kind of like decision making, and you could see them like wanting him to like learn through the mistakes, but don't have like this whole capacity to keep him ahead of other guys like your Isaiah Collier and people who were a lot more kind of trusted with the ball. And I think the situation was after this, you know, worst kind of a statistical season with the shooting, with the effective field goal percentage being so low that he was in lists of, you know, top five kind of worst shooting seasons for certain amount of attempts. Like, things were really bad. And then the Ace Bailey thing comes in. Not that they play the same position, but I think, you know, there's this shot or this like movement towards what that looks like. Isaiah Collier's hurt, but I still felt like he was the incumbent starting. So there were the question marks. But the Ace Bailey's been slow to start. Isaiah hasn't played yet. He's only just been cleared, I think, to you know, be played. I think he was off the injury report but didn't even get on the court yesterday. And this is this huge pathway that Keyonte George is had before. Like, I think he's had the opportunity in little bits where they've started him, but here it's just like everything's changed. Like, he's in everything. He's making his shots. The assist numbers. Yeah, I think he's averaging like 8 or so assists. Like, they're all the stuff that like keeps him ticking. Like, that's like, it's a huge turnaround, and someone who, you know, I was completely out on just kind of like coming back, and I wish he did this last year. But we'll see. He's the one that I'm like, okay, I still want to see where it goes, but it's impossible to deny at this point what the numbers are. So, yeah, Keontae George moving in now to the top tier of our studs list. We've got number two, Julius Randle, averaging 33.6 at pick 677, sorry, for Coach Jake. I mean, I was on it. I thought there was a home run pick at the start. You know, couldn't believe he got so far, nearly slipped. Nearly needed to slip, I think, a couple more picks, and he would have come to me instead of picking someone who's an honorable mention on our dud list. But yeah, I showed the consistency of what he was doing. He hasn't had a game less than, I think it was a 32 or 31.25. So, and yesterday, 34. Like, that bracket is a 31 to a 35, and he's had 7 games in between all those numbers. Uncanny kind of consistency on what they're doing there. And, you know, this would be the highest average, I think, for his whole career, even in that dominant kind of Nick day. So I think there's just an idea sometimes where like, well, I know these guys are just fantasy players. Russell Westbrook's an interesting one based on yesterday's best game that he's had as a King. It's just like, well, these guys are just fantasy guys. They just rack them up. And Julius Randle's been like that for a long, long time now. So, I'm not surprised. We'll see where it can kind of like keep at this level. But it's an absolute huge payoff right now for Jake. But the number one stud, I think, has to be Austin Reeves so far. So, average of 36.9, pick 52 for Coach Chris. Similar to kind of the Tyrese Maxey, I'm saying average of 39, but average of 36.9, that puts you right up there in like top 5, 6, 7 category at the end of the season if you kind of maintain. So like I said, he's seventh in average. I know he missed a game yesterday. I know LeBron's out. We know that Luka missed some time too for those huge games. There's context around it all. So I think it's near impossible for him to average 36.9. I get it. I don't know how far it dips, knowing that we've shifted into a different kind of level here with Reeves, a different kind of way that we talk about him. I've never been like this huge fan. But the scoring, I think, is undeniable now. He's playing for his next contract. It's looked like someone's going to pay him the max, whether it's Lakers or someone else. You know, I think I said, you know, that's a motivating factor at some point, but we've moved in this new kind of echelon with Austin Reeves and what he can do. And I know he shot like 22 fucking free throws, I think, when he had that 50-point game. I hate that. I haven't watched the footage in terms of like each one and how he got it. I hate it. You love it as a fantasy kind of guy, but I don't want to be booking all my projections on he's going to get his mark based on assuming he's going to shoot a whole ton of free throws. He's like Shea level of kind of initiating and getting contact. He's very, like, I wonder if the whistle was always going to be there or if there's some stuff that kind of moves away. But he's an expert of kind of that kind of moving into you as you drive, anticipating and beating you off the first step. It's all fine basketball and good on him. But let's just see where the piece of that kind of trends in the 36.9, especially when LeBron does come back on what it's kind of going to be. You know, I just don't think a sustainable model is two guys in the top 7 of our fantasy player being, you know, Reeves and Luka, who are both predominantly kind of your scoring guys. So we'll see where it goes. But clearly right now, it's the number one stud, huge, huge kind of outlay that that we've seen from Austin Reeves here that deserves the number one spot in the flowers on this list at least. So, yeah, that's the studs. That's the niceties out of the way. Hope you enjoyed. And now it gets a little bit more depressing and sad as you moved into the duds of the list, the people that are probably keeping you up at night and going, oh, why? Like, is it going to turn around? It better turn around. Or in some case, maybe you've already kind of cut ties. But duds, few honorable mentions. I mentioned Ace Bailey before. We've got leeway. He's a rookie. I'm not going to throw him, you know, on the pile yet. But, you know, he was an early pick of 96 and he's averaging 5 so far. So, yeah, could have been on the top 10, but I think maybe we allow some growth there and just an honorable mention. Other honorable mention, Bob Carrington. I don't think it's really going too well lately, like to start. Just there's a lot of Wizard stuff going on. Christian Brown, not really doing too well to start after last season. Mitchell Robinson, he's finally got back, but I don't think he's played enough and you've seen it for him to get a list, but wanted to just to do a mention of him because I think there's a pathway where it really kind of is just not a good pick. And Emmanuel Quickley, I had down. I think I had very, very high expectations. That's really underwhelmed so far to start in the but also like seeing the other kind of Raptors starters do so well. So interesting there. Going into our top 10 list, this one was harder to kind of rank. Had a little bit of fun with it. See where we go. Number 10, Khalil Ware. Coach Dan picked him at 105. He's averaging 15.4. I think we all had higher expectations. It was an interesting one on draft night. But I think just the fact that he is playing with Bam, we're seeing some of the stuff that I think the worst kind of case thing with some of the coaching and his leash around his minutes and some of the impact. We're seeing that in reality. His last two games, he's played 12 minutes and 18 minutes. Like, he's had a couple of nice games, especially his last one. In only 18 minutes, he scores a 21.5 fantasy. But enough there and drafted high enough, I think, that he kicks off this list as a bit of a kind of a worrying one on where it's going to go for 10. But as I said, you know, some of these players on these dud lists, I still like, I'd still want to own, I'd still kind of hold a lot of stock. But based on the first 2 weeks, hasn't been the ideal scenario. Number 9 on the list, kind of had to do it. Amen Thompson, averaging 22.5 for Chris. Big thing was he's picked 9. That's why it's the only reason he's died. I still love Amen Thompson. He had a really great game yesterday. Just kind of that has to be the what you're expecting night to night when you pick someone in the first round. It's a pure numbers game of someone who's averaging 22.5. You know, off the top of my head, that's around, you know, your 70 mark in player average at a guess. And you picked him at 9. I'm not expecting it to stay here. I'm expecting him to climb, keep climbing. But if he maxes out at a, you know, 25 to 30 high average player, it's still going to be a tough one up top. So we wanted to see more immediately. I think, I don't know, you can decide whether unfair or not, but slotting him here at number 9. Similar vibes, though, to be fair. For number 8, Trey Murphy III, averaging 19.6. Picked 40 by myself. Still love him. Not getting off. He's my boy. Everything I said in the pod, I still believe in about his, you know, potential where he's going. Zion's out now, of course. 7 to 10 days, I think. Who would have thought? The Pelicans are a shit show at the moment. They want to win games. They just, it's funny with these undefeated or these losing streaks because they were in that overtime game that I think they should have probably won. And they've dropped a couple of close ones and now it's 0-7. Now Zion's out. It's all kind of feeling like a shit show. Everyone's running the media stuff about them. Trey Murphy's had one good game and a couple of okay games, but that's it. Like, I don't like some of these quarters where he's just not involved as much. Like, I want to see more for it. I think it will come, but for a pick 40, something, you know, I invested quite highly in him, a 19.6, as I said, you know, that's outside the top 100. With average, it needs to be a lot better. Going forward, I think that speaks for itself. Number seven, Shaedon Sharpe, averaging 15.9 at pick 73 for Coach Adam. Yeah, clearly someone who I think's going to get better, but similarly to Kellar Ware in terms of these guys who really impressed in preseason. As I said, I don't like to have preseason affect my rankings too much, but Shaedon Sharpe and Kellar Ware were two guys that definitely got a bump in the rankings and two guys that have, okay, well, this is why we shouldn't take too much stock in preseason sometimes. As I said, I think the Shaedon Sharpe thing is going to happen still. I really like him. He had a good game yesterday. But yeah, like the Scoot thing is going to come back. Jeremy Grant is playing above, you know, potential expectations with the scoring that's kind of taking away some of that Shaedon Sharpe. It's just the number right now, 15.9 is low. That's a hard kind of swallow for a guy that, as I said, I think you took him a round or two higher than maybe most people going. And I have no problem with that because if you want guys and you think they're going to break out, you draft them where they think you think you need them. So I had no problem with that. But if you can't bring that up to like a 20, you know, that's when you start to, it's going to hurt. So I'll watch this space, number seven for Sharpe. Moving forwards, now we're getting into like some of the real rough ones so far. Picks, or my dud sticks was six was CJ McCollum. No longer on my list as of yesterday, averaged 13.3 and pick 100 for me. So pick 100 sounds late. It's not out of 150. Like, you still got five guys left. So to have someone I picked that early be a nothing on my list, it hurts. It kind of offsets all the good that, you know, Keyshawn George kind of comes in, but the Wizards. But as I said, I've watched too much Wizards, but easily quick enough. The idea of CJ kind of coming in, being an adult in the room, having like a lot of shot attempts and kind of getting his numbers wise with the scoring, was quickly like, okay, it's not happening. The scoring numbers are so fucking awful that they have to get better. But just watching him, I think there's games clearly where he's just going to get like low 20 minutes and they're happy with that. And then if he can't, if it's just the shooting, I think that the ceiling for it is just not there. It's just not going to be anything. So hard decision there. Rough pick. Big dud so far for CJ. But funnily enough, transitioning into the guy he was kind of traded for, number five on our dud list is Jordan Poole. So similarly, like an average of 15.4 at pick 83 is really hard. I think it's more of the reason why he's at five on my list and Shaedon Sharpe's at seven is that I do see more momentum the other side. Jordan Poole, I just don't know where it is now. I was cautiously optimistic that, you know, no DeJounte Murray, they kind of might be interesting, the Pelicans, and he's a piece of that now. So I was cautiously optimistic, and I think it's very quickly, you know, been blown away that there shouldn't be any optimism, I think, of Jordan Poole being anything close to what we would hoped for as this kind of like really fun, high volume kind of scorer that could go from this sixth man at Golden State into this prominent kind of high minutes guy and kind of flourish. I think that's just like come and gone, and from bad team to bad team, it's just not really looking. And if Jeremiah Fears is already kind of a more reliable option than him, I don't know where it is. I just kind of quite don't like where it is. So he kind of comes in neatly in the middle of the dud list here at five. Not to be cruel, but another one of Dobe's picks next at four on the list. Oh, it's five. I think I've got 11 people here. that's me for not counting at all. But next, Derek White on the list. Average of 17.2, picked 43 by Dobes. I was down on the Boston across the board. And even I was talking about, well, maybe that's not the right way to go, because the whole thing is, well, who's going to score the ball? Like, there has to be kind of it divvied out. So that just automatically means, well, I feel good about Derek White doing more. I feel good about Anthony Simons coming in. I feel good about Peyton Pritchard. And Jaylen Brown, obviously, is going to take this next step. I was kind of down on all of this big picture and Boston not being good and having really weird chemistry of just moving out all these players. And we're asking too much of a Derek White. And I think so far that's kind of come really to the forefront. 17.2 is fine. If you think of Derek White as kind of a later top 100 kind of flyer, and knowing that his consistent role is going to be there and everything, and Derek White, people love as a player and stuff. But I think I said, like, pick 43 is high. Pick 43, you're assuming that this average of 21, 22 Derek White is more given his opportunity. And I'm like, I just don't know if more is good for him. I was worried, and at 17.2 so far kind of is trending towards my kind of concern. So we'll see where it goes with him there. Number four, I'm back on track of the dud list. Cam Johnson. So another player I like. We didn't know what he was going to be in Denver, but everyone was going, oh, wow, perfect fit. You know, a guy that does a lot, you know, can replicate what Michael Porter Jr. does in at least a good enough capacity with the shooting, but better defender, better kind of cutter, more kind of willing team, oriented guy that we've seen. I loved him at Brooklyn. Yeah. You know, his average of, I think it was like 19, 20 last year, and it felt like, you know, that's really reliable. It's been shot in half. He's averaging 10 at the moment. You drafted at 97. This is for Coach Jake. It's worth holding on, but at this point, it's a really hard one. And I think I had Christian Brown in the honorable mentions too. So both of them for Denver at the moment. It's been a little bit weird so far. So I think you have to kind of give it some time. But based on these 2 weeks, he's a huge dud that had to make the list. But as we go up, another player is in his first year at a new team after being traded. Number three on the dud list is Desmond Bane. He's averaging 15.3, drafted pick 47 by Coach Walsh. So very clearly a victim of kind of a high draft pick. I got why it was a high draft pick. He averaged like 25 last year. So when we're talking about, you know, huge dips in average, Desmond Bane's up there. 15.3 is an unrosterable average long-term, just from a statistical analysis of a top 150 kind of number. Obviously, he's going to get better. Like, I feel good about it with all the stuff. But I mean, his last game, 5 points, 5 assists. The Magic haven't been great to start. There's been a lot of questions about the Magic. But, you know, Paolo and Franz are still putting up their numbers. Obviously, the defense has kind of been their like turnstile pillar that they lean on. And the offense has always been, you know, if you listen to some of those basketball podcasts, like, you know, 20 to 25 best in the league, like, repeatedly. And this whole idea of Desmond Bane was to have that more shooting and someone who could do a little bit more and see. And it just kind of hasn't really happened yet. He's had, you know, 23 points on opening night and then 24 points in his fourth game. It's the only two times he's gone over 20 points for the season. But both those times, he's scored less in fantasy than he did in points, which I always kind of hate. I know some players just lean into that and that's their kind of model. But you know, if you're drafting pick 47, you know he averaged, you know, the 25 basically the past couple of years. It's not like he had a good year and that was it. He's like consistently pretty good. He's been injured around it, but you know, this is what he had, a slow start last season, very, very aware of that, and turned it around. We'll see where it goes. Has to be named here. Moving to number two now, and I hate to do it, but kind of impossible. It was hard to keep him out of number one. Cooper Flagg. He's averaging 16.9. He got drafted at 31 by Jesse. I'm not worried. I think we've seen time and time again these guys who have the pedigree that they do, and a lot of smart people who know a lot more about basketball saying, well, he's a generational talent. It happens quicker. It happens quickly. I was kind of okay with him taking him at round four. I thought it was early. The Dallas thing's weird. Him being playing maybe out of position as a point guard is, who knows about the long-term stuff, but I don't see how that can be bad for him fantasy-wise. Like, if anything, you know, you want him to do the things that you're good at, but at least getting him in the offense and stuff should help things, like, tick over a little bit more. He had a couple of good games. He's getting in, but it's a victim of picking him that high at 31. Again, I don't hate it. But yeah, a 16.9 is just putting you in the hole, knowing the guys that go later that round, like a Scotty Barnes is averaging a 28.9. LaMelo Ball, he's hurt at the moment, but averaging a 32. You know, maybe he just plays and guys that have been taken after, like a Zion, Ja, and LaMelo, who we all knew were going to be hard earns. But yeah, it's just a numbers thing right now. You can't kind of overlook the fact that there's guys in the last round of this draft that are averaging, you know, significantly better kind of numbers than he is at pick 31. Yeah. But he, not to get number one. He was putting him at number two. The number one, and I don't know if this is unfair, but Anthony Simons, an averaging of 12.5, drafted pick 88 for Adam. So I get that he's drafted later than some of the other guys, but I think there's a big difference between a 12.5 and a 15-17. Like, this is, and it's a small sample size. He can turn a 12.5 into an 18-19 quickly. And that's the thing about doing it now. I get it, but that's not just like drop level. It's like really like can't kind of sustain you, the guy. So, you know, where I've made decisions with CJ McCollum and Jake might have hard decisions with Cam Johnson. Like, this is the level that we've got, and a pick 88 really makes it kind of harder and it hurts. And I don't think we're there all the way yet, but I'm just saying, like, you look at kind of the other guys around and the people on this list, and the 12.5 stands out. It's very, very low. I had worries about Anthony Simons beforehand. I kind of well documented it. I didn't absolutely hate the pick. I just think it was a hard one to kind of go that early on. I said I understand the logic with the Boston stuff, but yeah, Adam kind of really went in hard with the Jaylen Brown and Anthony Simons one, and the Jaylen Brown's coming okay, but the Anthony one's been a hard own so far. So yeah, that's kind of a quick kind of fun one to get some thoughts down. Before we kind of launch into, we've already had a day of round three, but we'll keep going into this round. But yeah, I thought the studs and duds idea was a fun one to kick off another week. But I hope everyone enjoyed their long-ish weekend, and that we get some warmer weather soon, because I'm getting over this rain bullshit. But yeah, thanks again, everyone. I hope you enjoyed, and I'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.